Mataji, first page of the introduction. Om Jnanate Marandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Militanjena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Panchakalpa trubhyascha kripa sindhu bhavacha patitanan pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord who can fulfill the desires of everyone just like desire trees and who are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate.
We're reading this afternoon from Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 6, entitled Dhyana Yoga, text number 17. Mataji, you have it? 6:17. I've been asked to speak on the topic of balance in our lives. And this verse is on that topic. Yuktahara viharasya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapna babodhasya Yogo bhavati dukaha. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Extravagance in the matter of eating, sleeping, defending, and mating, which are demands of the body, can block advancement in the practice of yoga. As far as eating is concerned, it can be regulated only when one is practiced to take and accept prasadam, sanctified food. Lord Krishna is offered, according to the Bhagavad Gita 9:26, vegetables, flowers, fruits, grains, milks, etc. In this way, a person in Krishna consciousness becomes automatically trained not to accept food not meant for human consumption, or not in the category of goodness. As far as sleeping is concerned, a Krishna conscious person is always alert in the discharge of his duties in Krishna consciousness, and therefore any unnecessary time spent sleeping is considered a great loss. Please. Avyarta kalatvam. A Krishna conscious person cannot bear to pass a minute of his life without being engaged in the service of the Lord. Therefore, his sleeping is kept to a minimum. His ideal in this respect is Srila Rupa Goswami, who was always engaged in the service of Krishna and who could not sleep more than 2 hours a day, and sometimes not even that. Thakur Haridas would not even accept prasadam nor even sleep for a moment without finishing his daily routine of chanting with his beads 300,000 names. As far as work is concerned, a Krishna conscious person does not do anything which is not connected with Krishna's interest, and thus his work is always regulated and is untainted by sense gratification. Since there is no question, everything okay? Since there is no question of sense gratification, there is no material leisure for a person in Krishna consciousness, And because he is regulated in all his work, speech, sleep, wakefulness, and all other bodily activities, there is no material misery for him. Verse again, yukta hara vihara sya yukta cheshtasya karmasu yukta swapna vabodha sya yogo bhavati dukaha. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. In his purport, Srila Prabhupada makes some very specific statements. But the general principle is what we need to get here. And the principle is that one's activities of life need to be balanced. That's very difficult to do. In fact, most people are, to some degree or other, imbalanced. Now, I heard, I don't know if this is true, but I heard that an airplane is off course 95% of the time because it tends to go a little bit this way or a little bit that way. Like, for instance, let's say a plane... In fact, I think I used this example here before. No? Okay. Let's say a plane is flying from Ljubljana to London. Ryanair, of course. No? Huh? What's that? I didn't hear. No, nobody else. EasyJet. Oh, excuse me. I made a mistake. An offense to EasyJet. Okay, yeah, EasyJet. So if the plane goes a little bit too much this way, you may end up in Oslo or someplace. I don't know. I mean, if you keep going like that, if you keep going the other direction, let's see where we end up. I don't know. Africa. I don't know. Angola. But fortunately, it has a self-correcting mechanism, so that even though it's off course most of the time, it gets to its destination more or less on time. Okay? So, in the same way, we don't need to get all, neurotic if we're imbalanced a little bit in our lives. Right? Because that's what tends to happen, right? You get a little imbalance. We become almost have a nervous breakdown or something. Because that's natural. That's going to happen. But at least if we know, if we're always striving for balance, that's almost as good as being balanced. If we know that we need to be balanced, and we keep trying to work for that, then we'll still get to the destination. Okay, everybody understand? Everything has to be taken care of, just like this verse is talking about eating, sleeping, recreation, and work. And anything else in life that's required. There's so many things required. One time, when I was very new to ISKCON, I was distributing, what was I distributing? Probably Back to Godhead magazines on the street. And I met one Indian gentleman. Now, in those days, in ISKCON, we sort of had the idea that anybody from India was a devotee of Krishna, which was a big mistake. But anyway, and the place where I was distributing magazines was at a particularly hedonistic, degraded area, in which there were only two kinds of people, either Hare Krishnas distributing Srila Prabhupada's books and chanting Hare Krishna, or people looking for sense gratification. There was no other reason to be in that place. Anyhow, this Indian gentleman came. He had his tie and, nice shirt tie and dressed very nicely. And he was very happy to see me, and he said, oh, yes, he said, I am from India. I am knowing Bhagavad Gita, Krishna. He said, I am Brahmin. And he reached inside his collar and pulled out his Brahmin thread to prove that he's a Brahmin. And he said, yes, I follow Bhagavad Gita very strictly. I said, really? I said, tell me more. So he quoted this verse in Sanskrit. This was about 40 years ago. He quoted this verse. And he said, because you see this word yukta in this verse, here it's translated, Prabhupada translates it as regulated, but it can also be translated as moderate. So he said, yes, Krishna says that we should be moderate in all our activities. He said, so I'm very balanced, very moderate in everything I do. He said, therefore, I don't smoke too much cigarettes, and I don't smoke too few cigarettes. I don't drink too much whiskey, and I don't drink too little whiskey. This was his idea of balanced. That's not what this verse means, okay? This verse is referring to the needs of the body. Well, not just body, mind and intelligence also. The reality is we need to function in this world. As long as we're in this world, we have to function. But at the same time, we have to cultivate spiritual knowledge, spiritual life. And that's the challenge. Yeah, not so easy. So everything has to be taken care of. Krishna is not at all impractical. And if we try to do, to be too extreme this way or that way, then we have trouble. The previous verse says that a yogi can't eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or not sleep enough. Now here in this purport, Prabhupada is saying that, sleeping should be minimized. Let's see. I think it's in the previous. Yeah. In the previous purport, Srila Prabhupada says, one who sleeps more than 6 hours out of 24 is certainly influenced by the mode of ignorance. Congratulations. In the 1970s, everybody was a fanatic. It was fantastic. I loved it. and we were all so sincere and serious. We all tried to follow everything really correctly, exactly, you know. I remember when I first joined, somebody gave me a list of things that were Maya. There was a list of four things. I can't remember all of them. I think one was toilet tissue. Toilet tissue was Maya. Soap was Maya. Let's see. I think television was on the list. I don't remember the other one. But anyhow, we were very serious. Everybody very sincere. And mostly devotees really tried to stick to this 6 hours a day. But it was a little problematic because most of the devotees were falling asleep half the time. So I was always struggling with this. And then when Srila Prabhupada left the planet, our movement really turned topsy-turvy. It was just chaos. And I was really, really concerned. And I thought, my God, you know, everything's completely different now. And surviving before was one thing, but surviving now is much, much more difficult. And I'm going to have to be very strong to deal with this. And I realized that I was half asleep all day long, practically, because I was trying so hard to minimize my sleep. And, you know, this particular sentence from the previous purport, this was our, like, guiding light, you could say, supposed to be our guiding light. We all tried to follow this. Yeah, because we didn't want to be influenced by the mode of ignorance, right? So, okay, 6 hours. But then I thought, okay, I'm sleeping 6 hours at night, but then I'm half asleep for the remaining, how many hours? 19, is that right? No, 6, 19, no, 18. For the remaining 18. So if I'm half asleep for 18, that's 9. In school, I was really good at mathematics. So 9 plus 6 is 15. So that means really, I'm supposedly sleeping 6 hours out of 24, but really I'm sleeping 15 out of 24. So I decided to make an adjustment. I decided to sleep an extra hour at night. That would be 7. And that way I would reduce my sleeping by 8 hours a day. From 15 to 7. Good, huh? There's always a way to adjust the scriptures, you know, according to... Anyhow, the point, the essence of this point here that Krishna's making, that Prabhupada's making, is that not to sleep unnecessarily, but it will be different. What one person requires will be different than what another person requires. And the point is that if we don't get enough sleep, we can't function. There's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam that says, well, the verse is listing characteristics of intelligence. And one of the characteristics of intelligence is sleep. Isn't that amazing? You would think that sleep would be a characteristic of ignorance, not intelligence, right? But then Prabhupada explains why. Because if you don't get enough sleep, your intelligence can't function properly. Anybody have this experience? Yeah. Your intelligence can't function properly. When your intelligence can't function properly, then it cannot control your mind. And when your mind is not controlled, you can't control your senses. And then you go down, 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 down. Therefore, sleep is very important. But to the degree that we need, but not more than that. Not too much, not too little. Srila Prabhupada gave an example one time. He said that living in this world, everyone needs some sense gratification. How about that? Good, huh? Everybody likes to hear that? Everybody needs some sense gratification. He said it's like salt when you're cooking. He said if you don't use any salt, then nobody's going to want to eat what you cooked. But if you use too much salt, nobody's going to want to eat it also. So therefore, it has to be, just the right amount. Not too much, not too little. And also, different individuals will have a different taste for how much salt they want. Therefore, many times when meals are served, a little bit of salt is served on the side, right? With the meal. So that you can add more if you want. Because everybody has different tastes. But please note that the salt is a minor part of the preparation. It's not the main part of the preparation. Let's say a sabji, let's say carrots and potatoes and cauliflowers. It's mostly carrots and potatoes and cauliflowers, just a little tiny bit of salt, right? We never heard of a salt sabji. You know, salt. With a little bit of potatoes and carrots and cauliflower. No. But the thing is with being a materialist is that their preparations are all salt. That's all it is. It's just all sense gratification. Maybe they throw in a little bit of spirituality and maybe do a little bhakti yoga once a week or something. But that's not for human beings, and certainly not for people who are aspiring for spiritual life. We need to do what's necessary to keep body and soul together in every respect. Eating, sleeping, recreation. Recreation is very important. Because if we don't get, especially in terms of physical exercise, people have so many bodily problems due to a lack of physical exercise. It's amazing. It's amazing how many serious diseases and serious problems of the body can be prevented or even rectified simply by exercise. It's not irrelevant. The body is like a vehicle. Yantradu Dani Mayaya. It's a vehicle given by Krishna to use in devotional service. We have to respect the vehicle, take care of the vehicle. It has certain needs. And I have a need for you to be quiet and still. Okay? So the vehicle has certain needs. Like, for instance, at one Sankirtan party I was on, some of the brahmacharis are really surprised to find out that you have to keep oil in the vehicle. They understood about petrol, you know, gasoline.
Oh yeah, but petrol. Yeah.
And then, you know, that's all there is to it. Yeah, but what about the oil? Anyhow, we lost a van that way. So in the same way, our body has needs. The reality is it has needs. You can't ignore these needs. This is the way material nature works, and material nature is working under Krishna's direction. The body is given by Krishna. Okay? It's not yours. Okay? It's Krishna's. And therefore, it needs to be taken care of properly so that we can use it in Krishna's service. So, therefore, balanced in everything. He who is regulated in his habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work can mitigate all material pains by practicing the yoga system. If we do anything too extremely this way or that way, there's going to be trouble. Just like Srila Prabhupada used the example of a razor. When you're shaving, if you don't tilt the razor enough, then you don't cut anything. Nothing happens. But if you tilt it too much, then you draw blood. So it's like that. Devotional service is a razor's edge. And we have to be careful. But at the same time, if we do happen to get imbalanced, don't worry about it. Just make the correction necessary and go on. Okay? Everybody agree? All in favor, raise your hand. You better raise your hand or you won't get any prasadam. Any questions? Yes, sir. We what?
We should establish oneness.
Establish oneness?
Oneness. Like to feel one with everybody.
We should feel one with everybody?
I think we should.
Why?
Because we are all part of humanity.
We're all part of humanity. We're all part of, also we're all part of Krishna. We're more than all part of humanity. That's a minor point. We're all part of Krishna. We're all one in the sense that we're all Krishna's servants. But how does that relate to this topic?
I read in my scripture book that we should have oneness between our body, our soul and God. Can you...
Oneness between our body and soul and God.
Yes.
You read this where? Oh, well, please excuse me, but I'm not an expert on Sri Chinmoy's philosophy, okay? This isn't about Sri Chinmoy. What's that?
I just want to have knowledge about inside from bhakti.
From the side of bhakti?
Inside from bhakti.
Insight from bhakti. The insight from bhakti is that we are all one in the sense that we are all Krishna's eternal servants. And that when we engage ourselves in serving Krishna, then we become united. And otherwise, there's no possibility. One time, one famous yogi went to see Srila Prabhupada, and he told Srila Prabhupada that we're going to be having a big conference of all the spiritual leaders and all the sadhus in Mexico City, and we would like you to come so that we can all be together, we can all just be brothers together, something like that. And Srila Prabhupada said, where is the question of brotherhood when you don't recognize who the Supreme Father is? Because that most of these, not most, all of them are Mayavadis. They're all impersonalists. And they don't recognize that God is a person. What to speak of that God is Krishna? So that was Prabhupada's concept. That there's no question of oneness unless we recognize Krishna as the supreme source of everything. Sarvakarana Karanam, the cause of all causes. Adi Purusha, the original person from whom everyone else has come. And it's our eternal duty and pleasure to serve him. That's the bhakti insight. Is that okay? Okay. Other question? More on the topic? Yes, ma'am. Thank you for being here.
We are supposed to take care of balance.
Yes.
But at the same time, only if you really sacrifice for devotees and guru and Krishna, we become humble and can feel something in the heart. So how to combine these two concepts, how to understand them?
I didn't understand exactly the question. We're supposed to be humble? That also can be balanced.
Huh?
Yeah, well, balance means including your sadhana. You have to balance that too.
And where is this line, how much we should also sacrifice, for devotees, guru?
Yeah, to the degree that you're able to. To the degree that's practical. It'll be different for different people. In the Nectar of Instruction, it's stated that over-endeavor is a cause of fall down. So we want to serve, we want to engage in devotional service, but you also have to, you have to become expert at knowing when and how to say no. There's a saying that enthusiasm without patience is passion. But patience without enthusiasm is laziness. So on one side you have the mode of passion, the other side you have the mode of ignorance. But when enthusiasm is tempered or balanced with patience, then you have the mode of goodness. And it's only from the platform of the mode of goodness that we can progress in devotional service. So therefore, like you're talking about enthusiasm for sadhana or enthusiasm for serving devotees, right? Okay? But it has to be balanced. Therefore, we have to be patient also. And we have to include the other things. You have to clean your apartment. You have to take care of your relationships with your family. You have to, you have to have some money to function in this world. You have to take care of your health. Everything has to be taken care of. And again, it's not easy. And sometimes we'll go a little bit too much that way or this way. But the purpose, there should be a driving purpose for us. There should be a real big purpose. It's not just a matter of balancing in a material way. But we're balancing so that we can give the best possible service to Krishna for the longest period of time. That's why. Our purpose should be to serve Krishna. Otherwise, there are people who are not devotees who are also striving for balance. But their concept of balance doesn't include spiritual life. It doesn't include chanting Hare Krishna. It doesn't include sadhana or anything like that. You understand? So that has to be a major part of the balance. In other words, that should be our excuse my French pronunciation, raison d'être. Anybody speak French here? Did I get it more or less right? Raison d'être. Reason for being, reason for existing, okay? That should be two things. To become Krishna conscious by the time I leave this body, plus to do as much as I possibly can while I still have this body to give Krishna consciousness to others. That should be the driving force. Then everything else should be judged according to how effective it is in contributing to that. Therefore, it's in the, I don't remember, Hari Bhakti Vilas or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that is stated the six divisions of surrender. And the first two are to accept everything favorable for devotional service, reject everything unfavorable for devotional service. In other words, we're talking about principles here. There are certain simple principles that because the specifics for every individual are going to be different. Much, 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 much different. Everybody's got unique circumstances, unique considerations, unique things in his life he has to balance. But the principle should be the same. Accept everything favorable for devotional service, reject everything unfavorable. And it has to be, it has to be balanced. Was that okay? Anything else? Yes.
Is there any hope for cows? Because many.
Is there any hope for what?
For cows. Cows.
For cows.
Because many Indians already eat and kill cows. Is there any hope? Because I live in country where every day is less cows outside, and I like India because cows are everywhere. India is becoming materialized also. Is there any hope for cows?
Can I ask a question? What does that have to do with this topic? I mean, it's an important point, but I'm just wondering what's the relationship?
It's not the end of lecture?
Huh?
It's not the end of lecture.
It's the end of the lecture, but the question should be on the topic.
Sorry.
Okay. Actually, in this world, there's not much hope for anything. Just forget it. Go back to Godhead. One time, Srila Prabhupada was speaking on the occasion of the disappearance anniversary of his spiritual master. And in the space of about, I don't know, a minute, I think, three times he said the material world is all bad. Sorry. He said the material world, people are always trying to evaluate whether, you know, this is good, that's bad, this is auspicious, that's inauspicious. Prabhupada said, you don't have to worry about it, it's all bad. Makes things simple, then you can concentrate on spiritual life, you see. But even though we have things to, but still, we're in this world and we have to deal with it. So even though it's bad, but we have to deal with it. Hope for cows? If people, there are devotees who are working hard to protect cows. Maybe you could join them. You can find out who they are, where they are. There's some attempt, but we have to understand the materialists are very powerful and they're gaining ground like anything. Like you say, even in India, I don't remember seeing it, but somebody told me there's McDonald's in India. Yeah. Is that right?
Yeah.
Even not far from Vrindavan. Can you imagine? Disgusting. But, Srila Prabhupada also started cow protection programs, but his main emphasis seemed to be to disseminate knowledge. People do bad things because they're in ignorance. And the more we can disseminate knowledge, what's correct, what's incorrect, that will help tremendously. We need to be, first of all, we need to be Krishna conscious ourselves. So therefore, we need to practice strong sadhana, strongly the principles of Vaidhi sadhana bhakti, and then do whatever we can to spread Krishna consciousness. If you can do something to, excuse me, to advance cow protection, fantastic. Srila Prabhupada would definitely be pleased, and Krishna also. Krishna is known as Gopal. He takes care of the cows. Not mention anything about cats. Can you imagine? What kind of name would that be? How do you say cat in Sanskrit? Does anybody know? Krishna, the protector of the cats? Or the dogs? Yeah, Krishna protects the cows. Okay, anything on the topic? Yes, sir.
It's beneficial to during sleep.
What's that?
If it's beneficial, if during the sleep the Maha Mantra bhajans are playing, or it's best that the body just put in complete tamaguna just to recover?
No, if you can softly play some nice chanting bhajans, yeah, while you're sleeping, that's great. That's the best thing. That will protect you from influence of any kind of strange beings, like ghosts or anything like that. But also, yeah, it has an effect on the consciousness. Because you see, people talk about the environment, protecting the environment, and there's so much pollution. There is. There's pollution of all kinds. There's pollution of the water, pollution of the food, pollution of the air, everything. But the worst kind of pollution is sound pollution. And it's all pervasive, even if you don't exactly specifically hear it. But the vibration is there. And it affects our consciousness. So yeah, we can counteract that, but that's a really good system. Just play it very softly so it doesn't keep you awake or something like that. But it'll have an effect. It'll have an impact on your consciousness. Yeah, good program. Okay, one more question. Yes, sir. You know, my hearing is really, really, really bad. So if you want me to hear, you're going to have to really speak loudly or maybe come, you know, at least 1 kilometer away instead of 5 kilometers away. Yeah. What did he say?
Is it okay to sleep 5 hours or more if you are so in tamaguna, or you should do something about sleep less?
Sleeping 12 hours a day. Yeah, sleeping 12 hours a day is a symptom that you're in tamaguna. Best thing is to get out of tamaguna, chant Hare Krishna. If you need to sleep, you need to sleep 12 hours a day. What's that? What did he say? Yeah, I'm just answering the question. That if you have to sleep 12 hours a day, there's something really wrong. You may have, you know, some disease or something. There was one devotee who was, something developed. He had some problem, but he didn't know what it was, some physical problem. He was sleeping like 10 or 12 hours a day. I mean, he didn't used to be like that. But then at one point, he became like that. And he didn't know what was wrong. He went to various doctors, and finally they found out that there was some valve wrong in his heart. It wasn't working properly. And they gave him some medication, and then he could sleep normally. But either you have some disease or, yeah, you're just deeply, deeply in the mode of ignorance. Maybe you need more kirtan, I don't know. But Bhagavatam gives the system or the clue for how to get out of the mode of ignorance and passion. You do both at the same time. If you want to look it up, it's in Canto 1, Chapter 2, Text 16 through 21. First of all, you serve the Vaishnavas. Serve the Vaishnavas. Okay? And then by serving the Vaishnavas, especially those who are attached to hearing and chanting, then their attachment to hearing and chanting will wear off on you. In other words, you'll get their strength, their enthusiasm for hearing and chanting. Then when you're hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord, the more you hear and chant Krishna's glories, gradually the modes of passion and ignorance, their influence diminishes. And then you get established in goodness. And from there you can develop spiritually, develop Krishna consciousness. So that's the secret. Hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and engaged in lots of service, lots of devotional service. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.